This is Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal with Amy Brown and Meredith DeFrancesco for October 20th, 2005. Those opposed to a liquefied natural gas facility in Washington County are announcing the next step in their local efforts to oppose the LNG corporations. Today, we'll be talking with Linda Godfrey, coordinator of the Three Nations Alliance and one of the organizers of those efforts.
It has been almost a year and a half since the limited liability corporation Quaddy Bay was created to develop an import and storage facility for liquefied natural gas, LNG, on Passamaquoddy tribal land where the Sepayak Band resides at Pleasant Point, though their governor and the voting majority of the tribal council at Pleasant Point said they supported the project, fierce resistance came from within the tribal community and from surrounding towns fearing the impacts on safety, environment, fishing, tourism, and a way of life. As plans and proposals have shifted, there are four proposals for terminals and tanks throughout Passamaquoddy Bay. Though the Passamaquoddy representative to the state legislature, Fred Moore, originally brokered the deal with Quaddy Bay LLC, he has since pulled out and gone on to create BP Consulting LLC with Washington County Representative Ian Emery, proposing an LNG terminal in Calais. A vote in the town of Perry blocked Quaddy Bay LLC from building a full terminal on tribal land originally annexed by the town. The project was then reconfigured to include a half-mile pier for regasification on ship with no room on the densely populated reservation for tanks. When another energy developer formed, calling itself Downeast LNG, it announced designs on the town of Robinson for an import terminal. At that time, Quaddy Bay LLC announced it had intentions of locating tanks on private land in Robinson, which they would connect to operations on Passamaquoddy land by 8 miles of underwater pipes. While many town council members and residents try to sort through proposals and company offers, many within the Passamaquoddy tribe, in Maine towns down east, and in Canadian towns and tribes across Passamaquoddy Bay, have expressed strong opposition to the heavy industrial development. Last week, we had Vera Francis from We Protect Our Homeland, part of the Three Nation Alliance that has formed around this issue on the program. And today, we are joined by phone by Linda Godfrey, the coordinator of Three Nations Alliance, a businesswoman in the town of Eastport. Welcome, Linda Godfrey.
Welcome.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us today.
Very glad to be with you. I wish I wasn't with you, because then that would mean LNG had left down east, and we had nothing to talk about except other pleasant things.
Well, we'll have you on when you're ready to make that announcement,
that
too.
That sounds good.
We wanted to talk with you about a number of issues. We haven't had a discussion with you in a while, and I'm sure there's many matters. And I know one of the issues is looking towards some sort of fiscal and economic impact study. Originally, when LNG was being proposed for the coast of Maine over a year ago, proponents and companies and state representative or state government officials were saying that the economic impact would be nothing but positive, and their reports only reflected that, although apparently there hadn't been any sort of great study. And your group is now going to be looking towards how economic impacts might be negative from the LNG. Is that correct? And do you want to tell us more about that?
Well, I'll tell you more about that. We had hoped that the state of Maine would have done a major impact statement to determine and to report to the citizens of Maine of whether LNG is something that should be in Maine at all. And secondly, when the state seemed to be comfortable that this was focused down east, that they would participate in some study or some plan that would look at and ask the question, is this good and relevant and appropriate for down east purposes? And so that has not happened from the state, and it has not happened through any local economic development groups down east, and it has not happened that any towns or communities selectmen boards have actually done an in-depth study of the pros and the cons, and then end up with a determination of what might be gained, what might be lost, and is this a good decision from an economic environment, employment, human safety, every way that you could look at. And so we at Save Passamaquoddy Bay have determined that we will commission such a study, and that's what you're referring to as our next step.
Do you want to elaborate then on that?
Sure.
A little bit?
Sure. This is called a whole bay impact study. So this study, which will be conducted by two entities, Yellowwood Associates, who are from Vermont, and they are the group who did a very thorough study of the Harpswell area when they were faced with LNG, and also the companion researchers for our study will be the St. Croix Estuary Project in the St. Andrews area. And so together they will look at a number of issues of the generally what would we expect if a terminal was located here in the areas of community impact, economic impact, community infrastructure, costs, as well as any benefits that might be accrued, what this might mean for employment that already exists, specifically what it might mean to the fisheries, to tourism, to other businesses that are here, and then even more specifically about the environment, the air quality, the water quality, the use of submerged lands. It's a very in-depth study that will be intended to help us answer questions about this particular issue and also give us a lot of information for other types of economic growth and development and visioning that will go into the future. So it has present importance and it has some future value.
Linda, how helpful has it been to use some of the information and the organizing that happened around Harpswell and also Sears Island? Mm-hmm. How much of that information is transferable to the situation that you're facing up there in Washington County now?
Some portion of it is transferable. The fishermen from Harpswell have come and met with the fishermen from here and shared concerns of what they had learned and what has happened. We certainly have researched and utilized the Harpswell report from Yellowwood, that even though that was commissioned by the Harpswell opponents to LNG in the same way ours is, the reality is that the other folks who did favor it could not find any error in it. And in the same way, we are saying to the Yellowwood people, tell the truth. Just tell the truth, and we will all live with whatever that comes out to be. So that was a real good learning piece for us. And we also learned that they did this their study for the same reason we're doing ours, that people were forming decisions, jumping on board, saying that they thought it was a good idea, approving people taking the next step, doing some things that happen when money is dangled in front of people and you don't answer or ask the questions, what does this mean in total? So we're trying to answer the question, what does this mean in total? Not only what may look flashy and seem like an immediate amount of money, but what does this mean in review of what the costs are, right from the beginning to the end of anything that would possibly happen. So all of that has been very transferable to our cause.
Were there any specific findings in the Yellowwood Associates study for Harpswell that you can think of that have an impact for you all now?
Well, I think Harpswell, the fishermen had a very big role, economic role to play in the Harpswell area, and I believe that the report will show that the fishery here, while some people think that it may not be as large as it has been, and obviously that's true, I think people are going to be surprised at what the economic contribution that the entire fishery, because we're not just talking about the U.S. side of this bay, we of course are connected to the Canadian side. So to look at that whole picture, that we saw in the report that the fishermen made a huge impact. And the other thing I think that we're interested in finding out that was a surprise to us is that in the long run, if something like this happens, what the actual infrastructure costs are to the community, whether it's sewers or schools or health or emergency or security or police, that all of those come on the cost side and are forgotten or ignored or denied in some of these upfront discussions.
So it was able to find that there were significant costs in those areas. That's one of the things that the report looked at.
That's exactly right. That when you may look at first blush, it may look like when a developer says, we're going to give you X number of dollars toward your taxes, or there will be some increase in tax base, that's what is looked at. And then when questioned, sometimes the developers will say, well, we'll get to that, or we'll talk about that later, or we don't know the answer to that. Well, what the Yellowwood report did in Harpswell is really do the factual analysis of putting this out into the future. And what they found is that when tax bases go down, when property values go down, when there are requirements on the local infrastructure to pay for certain things, all of a sudden what looked like a lot of money and a good idea when it was flashy becomes something that just is not even able for a community to support. So it's a much bigger picture than sometimes is seen in first glance.
Now, the state itself has not made any mention of taking a look at such a study themselves?
They have not. Actually, one of the groups, one of the teams that are part of our group that are launching this whole Bay Fund will be making a request to the State Planning Office and ask them that whether or not they would be willing to help fund this kind of a study. We actually don't have a lot of hope that they will do so. It's understandable that they're saying taxes are tight and all of that, but I think the State Planning Office has a responsibility to ask these kind of questions and learn this kind of information. It's one thing to take the report and take information from a developer who only wants you to know the good side of this because that's what they want to do. It's another thing to really do the in-depth work. And, for example, the developer reported that they had submitted some statistics about possible employment that would come with these proposed facilities, and they reported that the State Planning Office said that there would be X number of jobs and this X amount of dollars. Well, when questioned, the reality is that the State Planning Office has a computer simulation program that whether you or I today sent them a design and said, this is what we're planning to do, we think we'll hire this many people at this amount of money, they put it into a computer simulation, the way that you and I could do the same thing at home. And they send a two-sheet report back. And that's what the developers are touting around, especially Quaddy Bay has touted around of saying, this is what this is going to look like. But, of course, there's no second pages.
And they're mostly talking about the secondary jobs like the gas stations that are in stores around town that are supported because the facility itself, from some of the previous meetings and experts that have spoken at them, it sounds as though the facility itself primarily will be hiring people from other places with very specialized advanced technical degrees, that's a big chunk of the employment at the facility.
That's right. That's right. And we have heard anywhere from 20 to 89 employees. The more the developers talk, the fewer the employees there are. And you're right. You're exactly right. The more technical requirement people, they even say they may be bringing in from other locations. And so there are, it appears, about 20 or 30 janitorial, groundskeeping, security type jobs that may go along with that. And then some secondary spin-off is what this simulation would show. Well, there's a much bigger question to be asked, isn't there, of what does this mean if 20 kind of lower-paid jobs come and it undoes a number of other things that already exist, then what is the gain? And we need to know. We need to all know that. County councils need to know it. City councils, selectmen need to know it. They need to know that each business plan should have not only the possibilities but the risks and the costs. And it's those secondary sheets, the risks and the costs, that we have not studied thoroughly, nor has anyone in the state, and that's the purpose of our work.
And in Searsport, one of the concerns was about tourism and the impact that just even visually this kind of facility would have on tourists coming through the area and on whether that area would ever again get to be a tourist center. Eastport may not be comparable to the, you know, Searsport areas right between Belfast, Camden, and on the way to Bar Harbor. But still, it seems that there's quite a potential for tourism there to expand beyond even what it is now. Is that a consideration that your group has?
It is a consideration. Of course, I would be remiss to say that it's more than comparable with those locations when we look at the natural beauty. And we fit into almost everything that Governor Baldacci talks about, whether it's natural tourism, ecotourism, cultural tourism, the creative economy. This area down east is really a poster area for all of those things. And if people don't travel here, they don't know that we have a very viable and growing tourism industry here and potential for everything that is to come. So to put an industrial operation into this area without broad considerations puts us in exactly the same place that Searsport was fighting for, to say you can't have both things. People do not travel distances to look at industrial sites. And so we need to know what we're getting into when we step out into some of these areas.
There's been speculation watching this process unfold of the proposals moving from Harpswell to Sears Island to Washington County, that as the plans move further down east and to possibly areas with less population and less money and less other development, that eventually they'll find a home somewhere where people need jobs enough that they won't resist it. And given that, and also the just the economic realities of Washington County, how is your group able to organize and gain this support? And how are you able to pay for the studies? How are you raising money or getting grants? What kinds of hardships are you facing as you do this organizing?
We are facing significant hardships, and there's even something in the Federal Environmental Protection Act that talks about communities, rural and lower-income communities, having to bear a larger burden of fighting or interacting in environmentally dangerous or threatening projects.
And or environmental racism.
That's right. We find ourselves in that position. And it's very tough. We shouldn't right now need to be spending our energy and our resources on doing this kind of work that actually should be the big questions for the state and for local county governments to ask before they step into these kind of things. But as in one's own home, sometimes you have to stretch yourself beyond what you believe is possible if you truly believe in something. And our group truly believes in this, so it really is a lot of individual effort. We are conducting and just getting ready to launch, as you mentioned, this Whole Bay campaign, the Whole Bay Fund campaign. So there is the group in Canada, individuals as well as some agencies. We on this side are working with individuals as well as organizations, and probably don't see ourselves as achieving grants so much as there are a number of people. If anybody thinks that we are in this alone, they are very mistaken. We have support from people who come and spend summers here, people who used to live here and now live away, people who are in organizations internationally that are supporting the kind of work we do. So we're trying as best we can to reach out to people and say, if each one of us will bear a little bit of this burden collectively, we can do the work that is the best we can do for the Bay.
And we'll have you give contact information at the end if anybody wants to get in touch with you about that.
Mm-hmm.
Considering Canada, when we're referring to the Three Nation Alliance, we're referring to the Passamaquoddy, most specifically in Sepik at Pleasant Point, the site for the Quaddy Bay LLC proposed LNG terminal, but also Passamaquoddy in Indian Township, but also Passamaquoddy across the bay in Canada and mm-hmm. Canadian towns. And there's concern there, both on the tourism, which you were talking about earlier, but also in a meeting earlier with FERC. FERC was putting forth that if the government of Canada indeed blocks the passage of LNG LNG tankers through Head Harbor Passage, that could essentially shut down these proposals. Can you talk a little bit about the Canadian play in this issue?
Yeah. Canada is a big player in this because of our geographic location. We are just moments away from Campobello Island, Deer Island, and then a little bit further, Grand Manan, and, of course, the mainland that is St. Stephen to St. Andrews are all very tightly connected to all of this reality. And what you're talking about is a representative from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission in Washington, known as FERC, and they are the people who ultimately say whether or not these places can be built. Was asked a question recently at an information meeting that they held in the Robinson area, and the questioner asked, could all of these proposals be stopped if Canada would say that U.S. tankers carrying LNG could not pass through Head Harbor Passage, which is the passage that brings all tankers and water vehicles into the to Passamaquoddy Bay. And his answer was yes, as he understood it. If they were not allowed to pass through Canadian waters, that would end the possibility for people to do their work here in relation to establishing some terminals. And right now when I say they, I'm talking about Quaddy Bay LLC, recently published a preliminary navigations waterways analysis and safety review for a receiving terminal, and they call it Point Pleasant. It's actually Pleasant Point. And so in that report, they have the local pilots drawing a pathway from Head Harbor along a line that brings them through some very strong currents, takes them out around, and the narrative says that they have to skirt out around Old Sal Whirlpool, which is a significant water challenge, and then they have to make a real tight turn in what they call a choke point at Dog Island, which is on Eastport's northeastern edge, and then make a very tight turn and go what we would call upriver up to Pleasant Point and then beyond in their proposals. And so all of this, and they say in the report, the majority of the water route will be through Canadian waters, which is why Canada has such a voice in this whole subject.
And just because we haven't mentioned it this time, and in case somebody happens to be tuning in and this is the first time they've heard of liquefied natural gas, why is that so dangerous?
Well, liquefied natural gas is considered a cleaner than oil and coal type of fuel. It is a bridge fuel. People call it a bridge fuel that we ought to all be on our way to all to sustainable energy, which would be solar and wind and hydrogen and other mixtures. But liquefied natural gas is like put in the wrong place, put in the wrong conditions, flames are present, certain conditions are present, it can, like any other liquid of that nature, can explode and cause significantly big damage, whether it's at sea or it's on shore or if it's nearby. So, and it moves in such massive quantities. So we're, for example, these are huge tankers, like 4 football fields long and 14 stories high, and those are huge tankers. Well, you know, huge tankers can move about. We're not so much objecting to the tankers as to the product that's in the tankers, and that's really what you're asking. When you're moving 35 million gallons worth of liquefied natural gas, then anything that might ever happen gets magnified by that 35 million gallons. So whether you have an accident that is man-made or nature-made, whether the ship runs aground, whether the tugboats find difficulty and it gets loose from them in the wind, there's just a number of things that can happen. And they don't happen often, but they don't have to, just as we've seen recently in some of the disasters that nature has caused. Things that we never expected to happen are happening. And so the federal government, as well as the industry and others, have incredible safety requirements that are all based on what could happen. And I'd be glad to share with you just some of the things that this report that Quaddy Bay put out does name Eastport and Campobello and Deer Island as communities of concern. And if you're interested, I could just name some of the things that they say would need to be in place in order to protect people in relation to this this product.
Okay, well, that would be a good place to finish up, Linda.
Okay.
Yeah, you go ahead and do that.
Okay, I'll just quickly say that in their recommendations of how to be aware of what might happen here, they not only talk about pre-arrival security inspections, but small boat escorts, which means gunboats, positive control boarding of the tankers by sea marshals, transit in daylight only, that there would need to be video surveillance cameras in these communities of concern, police presence by air, warning signals for the community, areas of refuge for the community, diver sweep of the pier, anti-boat barriers. I'm just reading from this list. Physical barriers around the moored vessel and the cargo transfer monitoring. So just that list ought to give all listeners and anyone concerned about this a real heads up that this is not a little easy development that somebody's proposing that would is nice and has no challenges. This has huge challenges and is exactly the reason why we all should be asking questions about this for a good long time before anyone makes a decision about whether this is good or not for Maine, and that's exactly why we are conducting the Whole Bay campaign to launch as deep a study as we can to look at all of these things up close.
Right, and we haven't even mentioned the cultural impacts and social impacts of that on today's
program. They're all right
there. Certainly they're vast.
And everything on that list implies that there are cultural and human costs to all of those things.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us today. Could you please give your contact information?
Yes. People who wish to have more information or contribute to the Whole Bay campaign fund of Save Passamaquoddy Bay may do so by calling us at 853-4123 or by sending it to the Save Passamaquoddy Bay Post Office Box 255 Eastport. And they can also go online, www.savepassamaquoddybay.org.
Great. We've been talking with Linda Godfrey, coordinator with the Three Nation Alliance, and she's a businesswoman in Eastport.
And just a quick announcement, tomorrow there will be a day-long conference in Augusta at the Civic Center, sponsored by Physicians for Social Responsibility, called Making the Connection, Human Health in a Changing Environment. For more information, call 772-6714 or email psr_maine@yahoo.com. And you've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. I'm Amy Brown.
And I'm Meredith DeFrancesco. Joel Mann engineered today's program. Andy Buckley does web and technical support.
You can reach us here at WERU or by emailing radioactive@maineindymedia.org. Listen to our archived programs on our website, radioactivenews.org, and you can also subscribe to free podcasting of our programs there.
Thank you for listening and acting. Stay tuned for more independent news on your community radio station, and join us again next Thursday.